Let's open our Bibles to the book of James tonight and read one verse in James chapter 4 to establish our thought and step off here into a brief consideration, not an unfamiliar consideration, I wouldn't imagine, but one that the Lord put on my heart for this evening. James chapter 4, and verse 3, picking up in the middle of a thought there. You ask and do not receive, James says, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we'll bow our heads together and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise you this evening for this gathering we have together to consider your word, and Father, here shortly, to kneel together and come before you in a time of prayer. Father, what a privilege it is, and a right that escapes so many people and their understanding of what a privilege it is to come before the Almighty God and boldly approach the throne of grace, Father, in times of need and in times simply of worship. And so we thank you for that time tonight, Lord. And we thank you for the word that you have prepared for us, that we might receive it and move forward in it, Lord, being changed by it, even if only a little bit. Father, I pray that you would help us to receive what you have and to be who you would have us to be. Bless us by your word tonight. Help us to take joy in it, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Several years ago, I meant to look and see when it was. It seems like it wasn't that long ago, but I'm guessing now it's been probably 10 years ago. When you get to be my age, and that sounds kind of old in itself, you know, we say that the days are long, but the years are short, and so they are. I want to say it was sometime in the middle of the last decade, 2013 or 2014, regardless. I saw a video, as maybe a number of you might have seen. Someone just approached a homeless man, and he was standing in the median of a street and had approached him for money, and so he started talking with him, and he was like, "My goodness, your voice is amazing." Some of you might remember this one. They called him the man with the golden voice. I think his name was Ted. Ted Williams, not the baseball player. That being said, he was a man who, for a number of different reasons, including substance abuse and the like, found himself on the streets and homeless, but he had this rich voice, this magnificent voice that you know would just suit, well, the radio at the very least, and doing voiceovers and voice acting and all of these things. It was an incredible voice, a voice I don't have. You know, Brother Doug Crook has a magnificent voice. I've always respected his voice. This man had one of those rich voices. And so that video went viral. And when that video went viral, a number of things happened shortly thereafter. He was taken off the street. He was given a home. He was given, a number of opportunities to do exactly what I mentioned a moment ago, to be on the radio and to do voiceovers and to do introductions and advertisements and the like. He signed a book deal. He signed a media deal. He brought in a substantial income because of his voice. Everyone likes a rags-to-riches story, and this one really rung true with a number of people. And he was indeed that rags-to-riches story. Now, before I go on talking about Ted Williams, I will just make the correlation that God likes himself. He's fond of a rags-to-riches story. And if you want an example, you can look around today and see that there are a number of rags-to-riches stories right here present. I'm not saying that you were in poverty once, naturally speaking, and now you're in your abundance. I'm talking about us being without Jesus, absolutely bankrupt spiritually. And now each one of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus and have been invited to spend eternity with him, we have moved from rags to riches as we passed from death unto life. Jesus said, and expressed how much the Lord enjoys a rags to riches story as such. If you look in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, it records that time when Jesus spoke of the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep for the one lost one, that part that we're so familiar with. If you look how he continues in that parable there in Luke 15 and verse 8, he says, "What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And so, like I always say when I quote this verse, in the presence of the angels of God is God himself. the Father is paying attention. The Father does see. He does foreknow, certainly, but in the act of moving from death unto life, the Lord rejoices in that situation. He rejoices in us passing from rags to riches. So indeed, he loves a rags to riches tale. Now that being said, God wants us to continue in finding blessing, as is the theme of our message here in this assembly and elsewhere. God wants us to continue to find joy in, well, in being blessed abundantly. Jesus said not to be satisfied merely with, well, merely with being brought from rags to riches. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy, he says in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life. Move from death unto life, but not to stay there. Not to stand there in simple salvation, but to have that life more abundantly, to grow in that. We know that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we know that we have new life when we've accepted Jesus, and we know also that further we can have abundant life, overflowing life, bountiful life. And He will give us whatever we need to abound in that life. The fact is, God is able to give us anything. But what I'm grateful for, saints, is as our passage suggests that we opened up with, thankfully, the Lord does not give us everything we ask for. He's able to give us whatever we ask for. He's able to give us anything, but thankfully, He does not. And for good reason. You ask and do not receive, He says here in James 4. You ask and do not receive because you ask incorrectly. You ask wrong. You ask in a manner that misses the mark. You ask, well, outside of God's will. Jesus says, ask anything in My name and you shall receive it. In His name means according to His will, according to His desire. And His desire is to do you good. So when we ask for those things that are no good for us, when we ask for those things, or maybe we don't even ask, we just pursue those things that aren't good for us. Well, He doesn't always allow us to have those things. God doesn't always just throw natural abundance at us. Let me start there. He doesn't always just, well, miraculously fill our bank accounts. In my family's history, we've come upon miraculous windfalls of money. I've heard other testimonies, well, shared by different ones outside of my family where you needed money and the Lord provided for that. And He does do that sometimes. I've never checked my account weekly and just seen money. Well, direct deposit is what it is, but it's something that in theory you earn, right? But I've never just seen, wow, where did that money come from? And just poof. And in the little, you know, byline, it says from God. I've never seen that take place. So He doesn't always miraculously fill our bank account. He doesn't always miraculously fill up our health meters, as it were. He doesn't always fill our relationship requests when we beseech Him. Lord, just let this work out between me and so-and-so. Or Lord, just let this relationship that I have, even if not romantic, whatever the case may be, just let it just be sticking together here. He doesn't always allow that to be so. He doesn't always fill our career goals and our ambitions. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, aren't you glad that He doesn't always give you everything that you would ask for? I will say, speaking from my own personal experience, I am. Because I'm prone to ask amiss. I'm prone to miss the mark when I ask the Lord for something. Because I'm also, in my flesh, prone to spend those things on my own pleasures. On my own natural desires. I remember when I heard the story of that man, Ted Williams. I remember when I heard it and I heard, I saw him go viral and I saw all of these opportunities and all these gifts and all of these natural treasures of abundance put upon him, naturally speaking. And I remember, man, the cynic in me said, what? This isn't going to turn out well. I feel like this could really be an enabling for him to fall apart again. I didn't think it was going to be beneficial. And unfortunately, you know, I say it often, sometimes you don't want to be right. There are times when you don't want to be correct, and unfortunately I was correct in that. He lost it all again, got into drugs, got into alcohol, lost everything again, and he ended up in a tent on the street again after that. My cynicism was well-founded. How come? Because I know mankind, and I know what our tendencies are, and when we have abundance just thrown on us, forced upon us, if you will, It's human nature to misuse those things and to spend it on our natural pleasures. We tend to overspend. We tend to feel deserving of these things. We tend to feel, I don't know, ungrateful for those things that are put upon us by no effort of our own sometimes. And we tend to overvalue the natural things. We look for them to satisfy us. And we look for those things to deliver the happiness that we don't have. And let me just share with you what you already know. They won't. The natural abundance. Obviously, it didn't supply Mr. Williams the pleasure that, well, that really means something. In fact, if you treat those natural things as though they are the source of that pleasure and your happiness, then they will be your undoing. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, the Lord says this, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." And what does he consider least? Anything that is natural in origin and not godly in origin. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, anything that might be considered natural riches, whether it's material or financial, whether it's natural relationships that aren't founded on the Lord Jesus, whether it's anything that might take that place that the Lord deserves himself. If you've been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? God does indeed love a rags-to-riches story. Spiritual rags to spiritual riches. He hates a rags to riches to rags story. And let me explain what I mean by that, because I want to make sure that you understand, man, the least in the kingdom of God is abundantly wealthy, abundantly blessed, abundantly in riches in comparison to the one who was without the Lord Jesus. But if you look at it relatively speaking, stepping through the door, stepping through the gate, being glad that you're in the family of God, certainly, but don't be content with simply being in the family of God. When you have riches that are offered to you, riches that are abundant and prepared for you if you just simply seek those things. He wants an abundant life for you. And so he doesn't want you to settle. Again, I'm careful to not call it spiritual scraps or breadcrumbs, but to settle for a very, very small cup when he offers you a full, full, overflowing vessel of blessing. Saints, if you have not, because you have asked amiss, then you need to count your blessings that the Lord has withheld from you, what you have asked for incorrectly. And I have. I have thanked the Lord. In looking back on my life, I have asked for some things that in hindsight, man, I could get on my knees right now and thank him that he did not give to me what I asked for. The Lord protects us from ourselves sometimes. He's not in a great hurry to give us things that will not serve us well. He doesn't desire to heap upon you, here, have more of this, have more of this. It's going to wreck you, but No, he's not in a hurry to do such things because he knows what the cost will be. I have a silly little rhyme in my notes that I'll close with. If you spend only on your natural pleasures, it will be at the expense of eternal treasures. That's a Greg Rabbit original. You can copyright it, trademark, and that sort of thing. He knows what the cost will be. And he doesn't want to dump those things on you. Now, if you continue to ask, Lord, I need this, I want this, I need this, and I'm going to pursue it, then sometimes he'll allow that door. Well, that you want to kick open, he'll allow you to kick it open. He'll allow you to walk through that door, and he'll allow you to a certain measure to wreck yourself and find yourself, as it were, spiritually speaking, sitting in a tent and only a tent. Well, in the median, if you will. But the Lord is kind to prevent that. If we will allow him, if we ask well, come to him and say, Lord, this is sure what I would like, but always, 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 if it's not to your glory, if it's not for my good, then please don't give it to me. And help me to be satisfied with not receiving it. Because on the other hand, if you ask amiss, if you ask for the wrong things for the wrong reasons and the Lord grants it to you, then what you will have not, what you will lack are the spiritual riches and glory that could have been yours if you'd walked as he desired. So may we always walk as he desires us to. May we not seek after those things that we already know he doesn't want for us. May we not sit and bang on the door and bang on the door asking for such things. Ask well, child of God. Ask for what will glorify him and what is in his will. If you ask well, you will receive good. It is all things for our good if we love him and are called according to his purpose.